Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back. 10 o'clock on the dot right here. It's 10:01, actually, on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Actually, wait, because we've got Dave Hardesty. He's going to be joining us here in a second. We are efforting him right now as we speak.
You see where Aaron Rodgers is going to host Jeopardy?
But they're trying a lot of different things. Yeah,
yeah, they're going to do a little fun little stuff with different hosts, and we'll see. It might. I don't watch it now. I haven't.
I'll check in every once in a while.
Yeah, if I see it, it's fine. Yeah. I just don't seek it out.
No. Well, Channel 13 moved it to earlier in the day, which, you know, it, they had a newscast that they were saying. For what, I don't know. I have no idea how it does. Alex Trebek was
game shows are coming.
He
back.
Was the man. Oh yeah,
Titans of Trivia. That's Ken Jennings right there.
Yeah. So
a show.
So I've got an idea. Do you ever play Code Names? Have you played that game?
Mm-mm.
Code Names. Really?
Is it
good
a board
game? It's a. Yeah, they're little word. They're words.
Yeah.
Words, and there's 25 of them.
Yeah.
And it's hard to explain. Anyway, that would make a wonderful game show. I'm going to put it up there. I'm telling everybody now, and if anybody steals my idea,
you get a claim.
I will. No. I will prosecute to the fullest extent. So,
yep. Got to.
Yeah.
It's the only way you can keep people from slandering your name.
Well, it's not slander. It's stealing. They're stealing my idea. For
But they also might steal it
show.
And go, John Granato is a CF. And people on Twitch know what CF means. Would you consider that slander if somebody called you a CF-er?
No, that's not CF-er. It's just CF. Anyway, yeah. No, I wouldn't. I think it's a...
Was your mic hot during the break?
Apparently it was. And
did
the people
get
Twitch
to hear one of your favorite little bad words?
And the people could hear.
One of your bad words that you like to call people sometimes?
I don't use that. It's just, I heard Dell say it one time, and then...
That's where you got CF from?
That's
where
I got it from. No, I actually got it from Chad. Chad started that for whatever reason. I don't know why. But, yeah, people hear me saying stuff to Dell. It was not something that should have been heard. Dell, this is on Dell.
Would you like to take this moment to have your first actual real public apology to people who may have been offended by your language?
I don't think anybody was offended by my language. I think they know. They were probably agreeing with me. Yeah, Dell probably is one of those.
A CF.
Right. It's a CF, and you don't know what it is, although it's the two bad words with C and F. And no one's ever heard of that before. I'd never heard of it before. Chad started using it, and now it's caught on. It's the word sweeping the nation.
It has not caught on. You say it, and like Chad.
And it's the word sweeping the nation. You're a CF. And unfortunately, Dell was telling me what to do, and you can't. It's like James Harden and Chris Paul can't tell me what to do, right? But I'm not getting rid of you like James got.
First
rid of, Chris
of all,
Paul.
I didn't tell you to do anything. I said, hey, remember we have this thing to do, and you said you do it. I was like, what? I was like, you do it, and he goes, no, you do it, you CF. I was like, that's an escalation.
Well, I know it got a little out of control.
You think?
Just a tiny bit out of control, but I think it was. I was right.
You know what? Since Dave Hardesty is not answering any of the three numbers, how about you do what you told me to do?
Yeah.
And give the people something.
Reach out on Twitter, direct message. What are you doing?
What
are you doing to make this happen?
I am.
You lined up a guest with no phone number.
No, we have
no,
three
we
of
have
them.
His yes,
and he didn't answer any one of them.
Maybe he's breaking some news.
Possibly.
PJ Tucker's getting dealt for a pick swap.
I mean, I left him a voicemail, so we'll see.
So I DM'd Dave Hardesty.
Do you know, sweet? Do you know that O'Brien and Jack would have negotiated a pick swap that would have allowed the Nets to take Houston's pick, a pick swap the other way? The Nets would have said, "Well, you okay? You get a pick swap. Here's what we'll do: we pick swap you in 2023. You pick swap us this year." They would have totally tricked Jack and Bill into pick swapping, where they would have got the Houston Rockets, who are going to be a lottery team here soon. They would have pick swapped. They would have tricked them into, yeah, we're doing pick swaps with you. Okay. Yeah, cool. Cool.
He's there now. He said he'll answer. So Dave Hardesty is coming on with us here. Bill O'Brien is not making any more trades. He can't ruin our city anymore, okay? Rafael Stone has come to the rescue and saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
He saved the world. And I know a lot of people might be, you may be a little bit, well, you only got Victor Oladipo for 1 year, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, I am convinced these Nets picks are going to be valuable. Valuable. The last time the Nets were good was Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin. They're good now because they've got these guys for a couple years. And then guess what? They're going to suck again. The Nets are going to suck after this is over.
This is the Miami. They're using the Miami Marlins model.
Yeah.
Right now, for
sure.
They're
going for it. And you know what? I can't blame them. That's great.
No, that's awesome. They've been irrelevant for quite a while.
No. The last time, again, that they were good was Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin.
And clearly, the talks heated up because of Kyrie Irving. Yeah. I think the Nets were willing to sit tight and see how it played out because they knew they could probably get Harden later on. And with Kyrie pulling the ultimate Kyrie right now, I think their thing was, you know what? Let's be real about it. Harden and Kevin Durant on paper should be good enough to compete for an Eastern Conference championship.
And if Kyrie doesn't show up, they got him. Dave Hardesty is with us right now. Clutch Fans, clutchfans.net, clutchfans.net. What do you say, Dave? How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Well, so, okay. Tell us, what's the react? What's the fan reaction? What's your reaction? How is it out there in Rocket Land right now?
I think it's sobering a little bit. I think fans realize, this is sort of the end of an era, if you want to call that, at least as far as competing for a title for at least a little while. So that part, I think, is hard to accept. But I think probably two-thirds, maybe a little bit more, fans like this trade. I think overall, as far as setting yourself up for the future, I think it has enormous potential. I think the Nets are going to be very good for at least a year or two. But you've got picks down the line that could be really good. And we'll see what Victor Oladipo brings, whether it's, on the court having an impact or being able to flip him. But it's certainly the Rockets are transitioning at this point. It's a completely different goal right now. They're thinking long-term. As opposed to the win now mentality they've had for the last several years.
I think one of the things, Daryl was such a, Les Alexander said, never reset. He never let the Rockets tank, never let them lose. Daryl was always trying, and eventually when you try to piecemeal, not piecemeal, that's not the right word, but you continue to try to keep the window open by any means necessary and placate James Harden, eventually it ran Daryl and the organization into a brick wall. I mean, it really did. They got run into a brick wall by placating James and by making deals. It turned into a bad Chris Paul contract, a bad trade for Russell Westbrook relative to what all you had to give up. And so anyway, Dave, I guess my question is, I wonder how Tillman is going to take this because there's going to be a lot of empty seats. But at the same time, I wonder if there's a way that he actually saves money and makes money with where his salary could potentially be for the team and how the team's going to be run, maybe in the short term?
Yeah, that's a great point. As far as I think you can take it right down to the Westbrook trade and Harden's role in that as to really what derailed this team. I think their future and their present would have been much better had they not made that trade. As far as Tillman, I agree with what you're saying. I think he took a financial blow here by losing James Harden. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you guys will follow the Rockets. The diehards will follow the Rockets, but they're going to lose a lot of casual fans. There are a lot of fans who just loved the Rockets and got to know the Rockets because of James Harden. He's a superstar. He gives them a shot every year. So Tillman loses money in the short term because of that. So it's hard to, you know, for me to hear too much criticism of him for this particular move, you know, as being some sort of cost-cutting move, because I think, you know, to lose a guy like that, James Harden, I mean, it's invaluable as far as what he produces for the Rockets.
How much did what he pulled here damage his legacy here in the city?
I think as time goes, it will probably dissipate a little for me. I thought it was a big hit. I can't remember a player throwing his teammates under the bus. And if he knew he was going to leave, why would you disparage those guys like that? I mean, it was awkward to begin with for all of his teammates. But to kind of just come out there and say, talent-wise, they're not good enough, and, you know, it can't be fixed, and, you know, there's nothing more he can do. I think that was throwing his teammates under the bus in a way that, frankly, you know, knowing even some of his character flaws, I didn't think he would do that. I thought he would be professional until the end. But to me, I think it does sting it. But I think long-term, kind of like McGrady a little bit, I mean, has more of an impact on the Rockets and on the city than McGrady. But people forgive certain things as time goes on, and they'll remember the great things he did here.
Yeah, I asked whether or not does this hurt their chances of I talked to somebody, somebody big in the organization, and this has hurt their chances of retiring his jersey. And he said, nah, time heals all wounds. And he actually said James was great walking out the door. He said he wants to come back. honestly, this whole thing is just orchestrated by Kevin Durant to get another title. And he said, do what I did, get to a place where we got three guys and we can go and win this thing. So get out of there. And James did it, and it worked, and he got out of here. So Victor Oladipo, hearing anything about the chance of coming? And another thing, why did they do that? Why didn't they just keep Caris LeVert?
You know, I think they probably like Caris LeVert, but I think it's more of a situation where, you know, Oladipo is probably a really good fit with Wall, and they're saying to themselves, he's an expiring contract. Can we also flip him, you know, going into the deadline or soon? For what we want. I think it gives them more financial flexibility. LeVert, I think, was maybe cheaper, but, you know, a little had extra years on there. I think that's the big draw. I mean, I think he's a good player. I kind of like him a little bit better than Caris LeVert, but, you know, you only are going to have him for the rest of the year unless you're going to financially commit to him. So I see him as more of a trade asset for the rest of this, up till the deadline.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to be here, so, I mean, that's probably another reason. What else? P.J. Tucker? Out of here?
I think so. I mean, I don't see the Rockets just letting him walk. I think he's valuable to a point where I think they're holding out for a first-round pick is my understanding or my feeling. I don't know if they've gotten that just yet. I think Philly is a great match for him. They've got a traded player exception that fits him perfectly. But they would also, their luxury tax bill would increase a great deal. So that's probably an interesting sell. But I think there's going to be teams for sure that are interested in P.J. Tucker, and I anticipate that he'll be traded. He's been professional. He's, you know, he continues practice. He's with the team in San Antonio, so that's not a huge concern. But I think they'll find a way to get him to a contender.
So you would say, for the most part, happy, sad Rockets fans on your site?
I think overall probably happy. Happy is probably the wrong word. I think people are just more relieved and feeling like, you know, I think as far as the picks they got, it was a home run. I think they really knocked that part out of the park. I think we were all hoping for maybe just a little bit better of a player package. I mean, Oladipo is a solid player, but I think we were hoping for a young piece that you could say, hey, you put this guy, you know, with Christian Wood, this is your long-term build. But they didn't really get that. So that's the only part I think is a little bit disappointing. But I think most people are just relieved. They've been watching James Harden the last week. They know this is, you know, him here, he's not going to buy in, and there's no contending with James Harden the way he's playing and the way his mentality is right now. So I think it's just a little bit of a relief more than happy. I think they know what's coming. We've been through this 2010 to 2012 or so, and we're going to go through it again.
And finally, Rafael Stone, good job. So I think we think he's done a pretty good job so far.
I would agree with you guys. I think he's been very good. You know, I've always been a little bit reluctant to praise him too much, but I think everything that he's done so far has been very solid. You know, I thought the Christian Wood deal they did all around was very good. I think, like I said, as far as picks, I mean, people won't really appreciate what he got as far as picks for at least a couple of years, but you will be grateful that that happened, you know, at that time, because I think the Mets, I don't anticipate them for 7 years staying a top contender. So we'll see. But I think as far as what he's done so far trade-wise, it's been very good.
Yep, absolutely. Dave Hardesty, Clutch Fans, clutchfans.net, clutchfans.net. Dave, we appreciate you being here once again. Thanks for taking the time. We know you're busy.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right. Dave Hardesty, clutchfans.net. Hey, before we go get in, 713-780-3776, if you've got any thoughts about all of this, you're more than welcome to get in. I got to talk right now about my guy, McGrath Pest Control. It just doesn't get any better. I love Scott McGrath. He's been with us forever. He really, really, really knows what he's doing. I mean, I had a buddy who had a bar, and he just had a cockroach problem, and nobody could fix it. And Scott McGrath goes, watch. And Scott McGrath did, and it's unbelievable, night and day. And you know how hard, once you get cockroaches, it's so tough. But not only that, termites, mosquitoes, ants, roaches, fleas, spiders, bed bugs, anything, rodents. We had some possum outside our house, and Scott McGrath came over. My whole family, Scott McGrath came over and got rid of them all. You got anything in your attic or whatever the case may be, Scott McGrath is here for you. I know it's cold outside, but when it warms up, you're going to have those mosquitoes outside. He's got a mosquito murdering system that he can put in your backyard, too, so that you can actually enjoy your pool or your outdoor patio, whatever the case may be. Give him a call. Scott McGrath is awesome. You will love dealing with him. 281-469-8240, 281-469-8240, or McGrathPestControl.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Unlike John, I'm a man of the people. Just look how he's dressed today. He's going to do something elite for the elitists. I like to give stuff to the people, and that's why I'm giving you a chance to head out to Sam Houston Race Park, where we're giving away a pair of tickets in every show today to see the action live during the 27th annual Thoroughbred racing season. Live racing begins at 6:45 p.m. on Friday and Saturday night. Every Friday night, enjoy $2 long necks and $2 wines. COVID-19 protocols will be strictly observed. So let's say caller 5 at 1025-713-780-3776 wants a pair of tickets to Sam Houston Race Park. Get your wagers in as early as possible. Visit shrp.com for more info. Caller 5, 1025, tickets to Sam Houston Race Park. We'll get you set up. Now back to the elitist, John Granato.
I knew you'd do that, you CF.
Okay.
I'm sending you Dick Vermeil. Have you seen Dick Vermeil?
Is he crying again?
No, watch. I'm putting it in the rundown, but he has some things to say about Deshaun Watson. So I just put it in there. He has some thoughts on Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson being upset with the organization. So we'll play that for you in just a second here.
The headline isn't complimentary.
Yes, no, it's not. No, the whole thing I don't believe is very complimentary. It's a TMZ thing. So we'll have to credit them. Benjamin Albright says that the Texans aren't moving Deshaun Watson and that they're going to work things out. Benjamin Albright is with the NFL Network. And he's an NFL Network guy who I think we can trust, as opposed to one that sits in here every day. So apparently, he thinks this is all going to work out. And John McClain tweeted, a week ago or something, he's got a better chance of being the head coach than them trading Deshaun Watson. I I agree. There's zero chance that they trade Deshaun Watson. That's not the first thing Nick Caserio wants to do as GM. No.
It would be an unprecedented move that the relationship would get so bad that a elite quarterback in his prime, 25 years old, gets dealt.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
That you just gave some of the highest money in the league to. No, it just doesn't happen. You got your guy. It's going to work out. Now, they couldn't screw it up any worse than they have.
No, they've done everything possible to make it a possibility.
Yeah. No. To make him feel like, what the hell? Now, Dick Vermeil does not agree. Dick Vermeil, for those of you who don't know who Dick Vermeil is, a longtime coach, won a Super Bowl with the Rams. He cries a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He does have his own wine. He came in the studio a couple of times with me and Sean Salisbury to promote his wine over on the other side. So that was neat. He's a neat guy. He's a really nice guy. But he's not down with this whole Deshaun thing.
What do they do in Houston? Because there's not many Deshaun Watsons out there. And if he's not happy, do you move him? Do you try to fix that? What do they do there in Houston with Deshaun?
Well, I think they change his diapers, okay? His contract, nowhere in his contract does it say that he's involved in making the decisions who coaches or who leads the organization. And I think when players get outside the role of what they really are, he's a great NFL football player and always has been a great kid. But I think he just shuts his mouth and becomes a better football player and lead the football team and let the leaders of the organization lead him.
Does it bother you that we see this more in the NBA where they have a lot of say in where they go, and we don't see it as much in the NFL? So it seems like that does bother you to hear somebody when he's under contract trying to dictate where he's going to play.
Well, to me, he's going to only play one place. Now, I don't have any more knowledge about Houston. I used to have a little bit more because I knew the head coach. But I just don't see him playing any place else, and I see him calming down, maturing a little bit, and go be a good football player and earn the money they're paying him.
There it is. Change his diapers? Man, that don't fly.
I mean, it's aggressive from a man who can't go a minute without crying, talking about being a baby.
Yeah, pretty much. He cries a lot. He cried a lot.
A lot. And by the way, as far as Deshaun maturing and all the things that Dick Vermeil said, we have not heard a word specifically from Deshaun, sure, quotes or not even quotes, but you can infer that he's upset because of reports. But so far, Deshaun has not said anything publicly other than the more things change.
That's it.
Yeah.
He was out at the game. He took a picture with Dre after Dre posted that.
Uh-huh. So he's allowing others, intermediaries, I guess, to do his talking for him.
That's the way to go about it, though.
Yeah. It's better for that to be the case than for him to...
And to not answer calls.
Well,
you know what? That tells you.
You understand the problems. You understand he's not happy with you.
Yeah. Especially when he's not taking your calls.
And to be honest, he doesn't have to take your call. You don't even have a coach. So, I mean, Deshaun's Nick. What is Nick Caserio going to tell Deshaun, really, other than...
Well, I think I think it was Cal who was... Nick Caserio. I mean, that's your new GM.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
What do you mean?
He's not gonna inform Nick Caserio on who to take, on who to pick, right?
No.
What type of relationship should they have when he's got a deal? Particularly
Nick
in the offseason.
Caserio wants to have a good relationship with.
No,
the
I understand
franchise
why. I understand why he wants one. Yeah. But as far as Deshaun currently, what is to be gained from talking to Nick Caserio?
Oh yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe
hello. I guess
maybe. But listen, none of this is Nick Caserio's fault.
I'm not blaming him.
Yeah,
but
no,
if you,
I'm saying, but it, you know what? If you are going to be here. And, you know, he wants to have a say. Maybe Nick Caserio will give him a say as opposed to what Cal did.
Possibly, and for Deshaun's sake, I hope that's the case. But Deshaun could go, I'm on vacation. We'll have this conversation when I'm back.
He ain't anymore. We saw him at the game.
No, he's still on vacation.
Well, he saw him at the game.
He's not working. He's still on vacation.
We saw him at the game.
His vacation starts.
I saw his vacation when he was on the boat.
Yeah, but he can get on a PJ right now and go someplace else.
Yeah, he could.
His vacation ends when... He has to show up for
if
camp,
David
minicamp
Gow called
or
you during your vacation, would you answer it?
Probably not.
Well, yeah, you probably would.
I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, you probably would.
No, not immediately.
Uh-huh.
I would leave a message, and then we'll get back to you.
when I'm back at work.
I might call if it's important, but much like most people on vacations, David Gale's not calling his employees while they're on vacation.
Vacation for the NFL is a little different than ours.
Yes,
a little different.
It
than
is
a normal vacation.
Yeah, and Deshaun will get back to you when he needs to.
I'll get back. Listen, do you think that's the message he left? This is Deshaun. I can't answer the phone right now. If you're with the Texans, don't bother.
I gotta believe
I'll get back to you when I want.
No, see, I gotta believe Deshaun has a business phone and a personal phone.
Oh, yeah.
Some people don't, aren't all some people exist in both phones. Other people don't.
You think he's got a burner?
Not a burner. I mean, it's registered under his name, but he probably has a phone for personal relationships and also for business ones. And the question is Nick Caserio in the personal phone or in just the business phone? Where's Cal? Does he exist in the personal phone?
I don't
phone
think
or the
he had
phone?
A number for Caserio before this.
See, so maybe any calls to the business phone don't get answered until a certain point. And maybe the Texans reside in the business phone while Jilly, his girlfriend, Kirk, his parents, his family, they reside in a personal phone. I'm not even joking.
No.
He could very well have two phones,
you
and some people.
Phone. If Caserio calls you,
why?
Answer.
Why does he have
just,
to?
Hey, how are you? Glad, if,
I would say,
glad to have you here.
Unless you're
are you going to be different than Bill O'Brien? Hopefully.
Unless you're trying to renegotiate my deal for more money, I'm not answering the phone.
10-28 ESPN 97.5, which is why you have a bad attitude.
I don't have a bad. Deshaun is doing the same thing. I didn't get fired from all my jobs. Now you're just lying.
10-28 ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Some of you were calling in trying to get the prize, Sammy's Race Park tickets, and we're a little short-handed, no intern, so I couldn't get to the phone. If you're still interested, call in. Still going to be caller number 5. Whoever calls in, first come, first serve, except if you're 5. You got to be 5, though. So try to get back in if you're... I just couldn't get to the phone. Apologies for that.
713-780-3776. Hurry up. Get in. 713-780. If you want to go to Sam Houston Race Park, it's big. They got a nice deal. These are Thursdays, are Sam Houston Race Park Thursdays here on the show. So we'll be giving away tickets to Sam Houston Race Park on Thursdays now. So that's going to be pretty cool. 713-780-3776. I believe we've got the. I was wondering why there were a bunch of calls, people calling in. And we were talking on the air. It's not easy. Shorthanded here because Tyler didn't get you an intern again?
I'm not sure. It's fun to blame Tyler for things.
I love to blame Tyler for things.
Particularly because he's not around to answer for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the transition from one semester to another, and they haven't done all the orientation stuff. But, yeah, no intern today as well. But we do have a winner, so I'll get them set up.
All right.
So, John, talk amongst yourself.
This is not okay, underrated mess. Did you really, really, really fall for that? Did you look at his Twitter handle? It says Ian Rappaport. Sources, Urban Meyer is targeting Tim Tebow as his offensive coordinator. The Twitter handle is at Jack Mehoff. So underrated mess. You have to look at the Twitter handle before you, is there a blue check mark? No. Is it Jack? That's putting that out there. Yes. It's not Ian Rappaport. I don't know if you're trying to catch us, but you have to look at Tim Tebow as an offensive coordinator. I'm pretty sure not. I'm pretty sure that's not the case. So 713-780-3776 is the number to give us a call here on ESPN 97.5. Obviously, James is the biggest story, one of the biggest stories in the country. It was the same. It was on the same day that the president got impeached, and yet we still have ESPN talking about this and not that, which is awesome. James Harden dominated. James Harden and Deshaun Watson dominated ESPN this morning. They got Dana White on now, but for the most part, this has been mostly Houston, and it seems to be amazing. There are so many Houston drama stories that are national stories. Yesterday, I did a Albuquerque called me. Hey, you want to come on and talk about it all? I was like, okay, well, because it's such an important topic in Albuquerque. This is, we are a national, and not only, I mean, I think we're a national laughingstock. I mean, now the Rockets are going to be irrelevant because they're not going to be any good.
Yeah, there'll be no attention being paid to them.
No, the Rockets have lost. I mean, I'm still going to go out to, are you going to support? I'm going to support them. I don't think that this is, I think that they're going to be actually, you know, when they're not playing the Lakers or somebody really, really good, I think they're going to be somewhat entertaining. Their ball is going to move. We've still got Christian Wood. I think John Wall is playing exciting basketball. I always want to see what Boogie's going to do because you never know what Boogie's going to do. That's always fun to watch Boogie, but PJ probably won't be here for long. Eric Gordon, I mean, I wish he could.
Either way,
shoot
better. I wish he could. Do you care one way or the other?
But he doesn't. It doesn't. I think there's going to be. It'll be interesting to see how Silas goes about this now without a ball dominant guy. He had Luka last year. He had James this year. Just a ball dominant guy that is, you know, is it just hogs up the ball and, you know, eats up the shot clock and just the isolation where everybody stands around and you got no movement. It'll be interesting to see if now they're going to be a much more a fun offense to watch. I've never been a fan of isolation basketball.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because one of the perks of bringing in Steven Silas is he was the architect of that great offense in Dallas. Of course, he had a MVP candidate and one of the best young players in the game having it centered around. What does he do now when he doesn't have this ultimate ball creator? I mean, excuse me, ball dominating guy who's going to create offense, who's going to draw doubles, who's going to draw all of the attention. How will this offense work? I imagine John Wall will have the ball in his hands more. And when Oladipo gets here, I don't know if they'll be trading off, but it will be fun. It'll be interesting to see how the tweaks, because you don't have this, as I like to call them, the ultimate weapon.
Right. I mean, no, it changes everybody, right? I mean, everybody's got to take some on some more. I don't know. I don't think it'll be better. James was an unbelievable talent, but I think it'll be a bit more fun to watch.
There'll be some more variety.
Yeah.
They'll have to. Now, I imagine Christian Wood will be a bigger focus if he wasn't already. And then we'll have to see how Oladipo fits in because John Wall, the point guard, will he become even more of a distributor or will he take on more of the scoring because James isn't here? But you're bringing in another guy who likes the ball in his hands too.
Yeah. No, John Wall's going to have to take on a bigger role. John Wall's a star. John Wall's a $40 million player. John Wall has to go in there and say, you know what, let's build this offense around me. And you know what? If you're smart, if you're Steven, you know what? That's what you got left. You walked into a situation with Russell Westbrook and James Harden, and you're left with John Wall. And maybe Victor Oladipo. Maybe.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier that he didn't want to be here because he has a preference of Miami. But once again, I do want to say we don't have any indication that he's not going to show up. It's just that Houston's not his first choice. It's like Indiana wasn't his first choice, but he played and played pretty well. So I'm going to operate until otherwise under the assumption that he will be here. And I think the trade actually was finalized this morning, so it's clear and it's going to go through. We'll just have to wait and see when he gets here and how they incorporate him. Victor Oladipo, despite what happened in the bubble, isn't looked at as a malcontent or a bad guy, just that Indiana wasn't the place for him, at least in his eyes. So, but he played, and hopefully he plays here, and we'll see how it goes.
Yep. Nope, absolutely. I'm kind of. I mean, I don't think that the team is going to be any better, but it wasn't gonna do anything anyway. There was nothing. This team was going nowhere fast, and it had a malcontent on it.
Yeah. I know the draft picks are the appeal, and you're out from under James. I just wonder was it a Tillman thing that was like there ain't no way you trading him to Philly. I don't care what they're offering. I'm not giving him particularly. Maybe Tillman would have been more amenable before that press conference, but maybe when James went scorched earth, he said no. I know he likes Brooklyn, but I'm not giving him to Daryl Morey. No way, because you were gonna. Despite some of our issues with Ben Simmons, because his he doesn't shoot the basketball, which is really important in the game of basketball. He would have been the best player that they could have gotten, and they didn't get him, and he would have been locked up long term. Maybe that's not something they were looking for. But it would have been him and another young player. People like Thybulle, or they could have had Tyrese Maxey, who's actually played pretty well when the Sixers have had their own COVID issues. He's played well as a rookie. That's a young piece. But you're going to Brooklyn for hope, and guys like Dante Exum and what's the other dude's name? The guy we can't pronounce his name.
Redonis.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
That's who you're getting as opposed to a legitimate star and maybe a young piece like Thybulle or Maxey. But it is what it is.
No, I think the long-term effects of the Nets picks, you basically have the Nets picks for the next 7 years.
You control them.
You control them. Their first-round picks for the next 7 years.
Well, it's three of theirs and then four pick swaps plus, and then you got a pick from, it's a Milwaukee pick, which won't be great. So you have four clear first rounders, then you have control of the Nets draft for like 7 years.
Right. Yeah. And the Nets are going to be worse than the Rockets, hopefully. So you're going to use their picks. You basically could have their first round pick for the next 7 years.
I mean, you hope so, but once those things start
Not the next seven, because this year and next, the Nets will be better.
Yeah. You hope so, but once the Nets are no longer in this win at all cost thing, because all three of them opt out, maybe they all don't want to come back, and Kyrie, KD, and
Kyrie's already opted out, too.
That's true. And James, there's no guarantee the Rockets will be any good. I mean, who's in their long-term future besides Christian Wood right now? When you're trying to reap the benefits of the Nets falling apart, you may very well stink, too. So who knows it'll be great because you have another team's bad picks. I'm just not sure where the Rockets will be.
Right. And, by the way, you only got Christian Wood locked up for 3 years.
Yeah, who's to say he'll want to be here if the team is awful?
Right. Or he sees what's going on, and, he can also get paid more here, so.
That's true, but if he becomes a guy you want him to be, like we had to talk about, he's an all-star, and he starts making friends, and he attracts players here, maybe Christian Wood gets out and goes, maybe I want to go play someplace else.
Why? Houston's the greatest place. Oh, you see how much more James is paying in taxes moving to New York? Congratulations, James.
And yet, dumbass. And yet it didn't deter him.
Dumbass. I like to call him dumbass.
Is he fat ass or dumbass?
It's fatass.
Or is he fatass or dumbass? Which one is he?
Doesn't mean you can't be both.
I like Mark Henry.
You like Mark Henry better than fatass.
I
like James fatass.
I like Mark Henry because
James Edward fatass.
Because the Mark Henry thing is hyperbole, but he's closer to Mark Henry is than to Kevin Durant in size right now.
They are pretty close now. But people who don't know who Mark Henry is, he's a big dude.
He's a big dude. I think he's now dead. RIP to Mark Henry. But the picture that's floating around is Mark Henry. He's in like this wrestling singlet that just happens to have Brooklyn on it. And James looks like James looks more like Mark Henry than he ever has.
They had a picture of Kevin Durant. Then they had a picture of the threesome, the Brooklyn threesome. Kevin Durant, Mark Henry, and then a blank for Kyrie. Pretty funny. 10:42 ESPN 97.5. We'll finish up strong with news of the weird.
One thing I do want to say, I want to apologize. Mark Henry's not dead. I thought he was dead.
You thought he had a heart attack or something?
I didn't say heart attack. I just thought he was dead because, pro wrestlers die sometimes.
Mm.
And he's from Texas, too. So, Silsby, apologies to Mark Henry.
Apologies. Hopefully accepted.
ESPN. 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. News of the weird. We missed Throw Shade Thursday on a perfect Throw Shade Thursday day. Del screwed it up again.
Well, we can do it on Friday. It's not like we have
No, it'll be, we Fire Shade Friday.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. No. We definitely have to fire some shade tomorrow on Fire Shade Friday. What do you think Betty White's going to be doing for her 99th birthday, Del?
Strip club?
No, she's not going to a strip club. That No. She says she runs a mile each morning, but that's been curtailed by COVID. Do you run a mile each morning? Are you 99 years old, and do you run a mile each morning?
No. I am not 99, and running a mile each morning would consist of me getting up at like 4 a.m. to do it. So, no, I don't do it in the morning.
Well, she's going to feed the two ducks that come visit her every day.
That's nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
We had a stray cat that used to come by all the time. We named him Ralph. Haven't seen
him
in a while.
If you feed a cat, he'll come back.
We didn't ever feed him. He just stopped by.
Just to say hello?
Yeah, want to get pet. I guess get pet a little bit and walk away.
Yeah. Turns out now, Dell, apparently there are a lot of OnlyFans accounts, and they're finding it a much more difficult business operation. You know, the big one, the females that are doing really well, like Mia Khalifa raised $160,000 in just a couple of months on her OnlyFans. But apparently, jobless women selling nudes on OnlyFans are struggling to pay bills now.
Yeah, I saw that report. It's been on Twitter as one of the trending stories for the last day or so. Is it because that there's so many women doing it now? The market is saturated?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy.
Yours look a lot like hers.
Yours look a lot like they're like, I don't know. They're almost like legit Hollywood actresses. Even remove Bella Thorne from the list. You know, you're not probably watching Cobra Kai on Netflix. It's the offshoot of Karate Kid. It's had a resurgence. It was on YouTube TV. Now it's on YouTube.
Yeah,
now it's on Netflix.
See, I haven't.
Yeah, it comes up all the time.
Yeah,
you'll see it in the trending stuff. Like one of the women who plays the mom has an OnlyFans. She's not a big time Hollywood actress, but she's been in stuff, and she's just on OnlyFans doing strip teases. I'm like, don't you get paid to act?
Well, she's acting on OnlyFans too.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of women who never would have dreamed about doing that. Are doing it
now
because they're out of work.
Well, in Hollywood, it used to be in Hollywood, if you did anything like that, you couldn't get anywhere.
You're done. Yeah.
Now,
it doesn't matter.
No one cares. There's a paid Playboy model who is being rejected by Bumble dating app because she's too hot. Do you think she should be discriminated against because she's too hot? Her name is Talia Paris.
Guys are intimidated by her beauty and not approaching her on Bumble's, or Bumble's not allowing her on the app?
Bumble's not allowing her on the app because she's too smoking hot. I think she'd get all the attention.
But they're sure, but how much attention is it? Is a swipe and a yes and please talk to me, and then the guy will move on to the next one?
Well, I don't know. Apparently Bumble says, we ain't having none of that.
Is this a story she floated out to get attention for herself? I'm too hot for a dating app?
Yeah.
She
created an account on the popular dating app after a four-year stretch without a romantic relationship. She went 4 years, this one? Holy crap.
Yeah, there are some women who, you know, may have standards, and she's only 24, so from 20 to 24, not being in a relationship is a little weird for a 20-year-old, just because that's the time where you're figuring out stuff. But I feel like this is something she did to hype herself up.
Apparently they sent her an email saying they removed her from the profile. She said that she didn't break any rules and that they were removed because they were just too hot.
The influencer claims that the shot of her playing Pac-Man was one of the pictures deleted by Bumble. The app's regulations do not allow shots of swimwear worn indoors. Well, she's wearing a bikini. Now, her back is to the camera for the most part, but you see enough. And she is wearing a bikini top and jeans. Maybe her pictures are too revealing because she's in lingerie.
Not
like,
to me, they're not.
Well, okay.
Not to me, they're
I'm just pointing out, for Bumble's sake, maybe her in the underwear is too much for them. And saying, hey, you can be on the app if you wear normal clothes.
Those are normal clothes for her. Who's to decide who?
Bumble.
Is this censorship is gone way, way too far?
You're not
now
on Bumble.
I don't care about the president not being on Twitter anymore. I don't care. But when you don't let hot models on Bumble because they're too hot, now we've got a problem.
It is not because she is too hot, John. It's because she isn't adhering to the rules of wearing clothing that isn't underwear or bikinis. It's not about our hotness.
Yeah, listen. We're just not doing that anymore.
But it doesn't affect you. You're not on Bumble.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm not. I don't give a rat's ass. You know what though? I'm glad that story came up because I was unaware of Talia Paris before just now.
As was I.
Holy crap! She'll go look up Talia Paris. She's pretty strong. Jackpot, lottery jackpot, $1.4 billion this weekend. Dell, you in?
I've never bought a lottery ticket before, so it's probably not changing this week.
It's not going to change for you?
No, I don't. I mean, John, I hit the lottery every day I come to work.
Oh, that's not.
That was my reveal coming out. That's all that was.
Yeah, I'm in already.
I already bought a ticket?
I put $20 in. Well, we got a whole group of people.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and we'll split it up. I'll be willing to share.
Oh, $1.4 billion.
Yeah.
You're a nice guy. In
Singapore, Dell, apparently there's a problem. An auxiliary police officer began dating his supervisor, but a horoscope reading several months later ended their relationship when they found out that they were incompatible for marriage. Upset with the breakup, he beat her up in a pantry.
Ooh. Some reactions are not necessary.
He later threatened to kill her and post nude photographs on her online.
So he's an all-around scumbag. Just all out.
Well, and wasn't this horoscope really right? I mean,
you're incompatible.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're incompatible. You know, what with him beating her up and stuff.
Yeah, the horoscope told you something you didn't like, so you took it out on her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The problem with this one is he's not just incompatible with her. He's incompatible with everyone.
Yeah. Everyone.
Everyone. If he has that in him. And by the way, you weren't here for it, but someone, when I was working on my other show, the Press Box, someone joked and said, well, maybe they weren't joking. Del, no wonder you're not in a relationship. You're a bad person. I was like, do you know who gets in relationships? Case in point.
That guy.
Whether you're bad or good doesn't determine if you get in relationships or not.
No. There are a lot of bad people. And good people, too.
Yeah, that's how it is.
That are in relationships or not.
Yeah.
Hey, more of the siege on Capitol Hill coming out, Del. There's a Staten Island Republican, this woman. She was there, and she was videotaped shouting, Heil Hitler, at the protest. But she's apologized.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. She actually meant to say, Mein Führer.
Well.
So she just wanted to apologize to everyone.
Well, there's recent news, not along those lines, but about the Capitol, that there is video out there now, and the authorities have either seen it or looking at it, that shows representatives of the government giving reconnaissance tours of the Capitol to the people who stormed it the next day.
Really?
Yeah, like that's what they're calling them. Like they're showing them around stuff, how things work, and these are people who were identified as people as part of the protests, who's not even protests, just the storming of the Capitol, and they were elected officials showing them around the day before.
Elected Republican officials?
I mean, you can take your guess about who would have done it, John.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Could have been a bipartisan thing, as that word's going around now.
Hey, look where you could go. See, look over here. Did you know where Nancy Pelosi's office was?
You want to see weak points?
Have you seen the lectern?
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently there is a Texas woman. She took the private jet to D.C. to storm the Capitol. I think she's going to need to sell that jet for her law. For her law issues.
You know, I mean, we've talked about it multiple times because it's just been a thing. I don't understand how some people thought when you do this to a federal building, there are going to be no consequences.
Yeah.
That they weren't going to make a point with you. Why? Why would you think they wouldn't make a point with you? By the way, you weren't like they went through the list and said some of these people were of – worse, not even elites, but some people had well-paying jobs. Some people, it was all different types of backgrounds. No one is immune when you do this to a federal building.
No.
They will come after you.
No. And this is the age of video, too.
Yeah,
so guess what?
Video? You're filming yourself. You're tweeting about it.
All right, we're done. It's 10:56. Joel was just in here giving me the mean eye. Joel was just in here giving me the mean eye.
Oh, you didn't hear what he just said. He goes, I was not. I was shutting the door.
Lance didn't shut it.
Yeah, that's true. And he didn't
guess who didn't shut the door when he left?
And he didn't call you a CF. He used a different word.
Yeah. Thank you.
He said DA.
No, he was giving me the mean eye.
And he called you a DA.
He just called me a DeMass.
Twice.
Okay? That's not Fatas. It's DeMass. They're brothers. It's time to go. Press box next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.